Well, good morning. Isn't it good to be together this morning? Man, I am so glad that you are here with us as we continue to worship, as we continue to open God's Word and continue the study that we began a couple of weeks ago called Beyond Survive. We're talking about what the biblical picture looks like for us to actually thrive, for us to live the life that we have in Jesus Christ. It is so much more than just a spiritual concept. It's so much more than a theological conversation. Life in Christ is something that is real, and it is something to be lived, and it is something that makes a difference in our everyday life. And so what we're going to talk about today is something that all of us have to deal with at some point in our life, but we also need to see the biblical picture of what it means to be able to release and let go of loss. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and take those out and let's open those up. We're going to be walking through some passages in the book of Genesis today. We're going to be looking at the story of Sarah, and how loss and promise and life in Christ actually is woven through these words. Remember, even in the Old Testament, every single word of the Bible, every single word of Scripture points to one person: Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Redeemer. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open those to the book of Genesis. Let me give you a couple of other things that you can use as tools to follow along this morning. If you have your mobile device with you, or if you're watching online, there's a QR code that's going to come up on your screen here. Let me invite you to scan that QR code. That's going to bring up a listening guide. That listening guide will help you kind of walk through what we're going to be talking about here in Genesis and some other passages in Scripture. But also there is a link at the top of that listening guide called the Digital Connect Card. And let me just stop and let me introduce myself. My name is Corey. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm so glad that you're here with us, especially if this is your first time with us, whether you're watching online or you're here in the room with us. What we do is we invite everybody to fill out that Digital Connect card, especially if it's your first or second time with us, because for every first or second time guest that fills out that card, we're going to make a donation of $10 in your honor to a local ministry here in town, and you're going to be helping advance the kingdom work of God just by filling out that Connect card this morning. Also, if you're here with us, let me tell you one more thing that you have around you in these seats that you can use this morning. This flyer is a promotion. It's an advertisement for something that we're very excited about coming up this summer. Guess what we get to do this year? Vacation Bible School. That's right. We are back at it. Now, this is for you. This is good information for you, but let me encourage you to do this. If this applies to you and you got somebody in your family that you want to take part in Vacation Bible School, or you want to help out with Vacation Bible School, take your phone and take a picture of that. That way you're going to have a picture of it. But take this flyer with you as a tool to invite somebody else, okay? It's wonderful every year how the Lord works through that time, works through Vacation Bible School to draw kids to Him that will be saved, that will be introduced to Jesus Christ, and God even reaches families, whole families, through this time. So that's what we're praying for. That's what we want to see happen. And you can be a part of that just by inviting someone to come and be a part of that this summer. All right, Genesis chapter 15. If you've got your Bibles open to there, we're going to be jumping into Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6 in just a second. But let's start with this. How would you complete this sentence? Okay, three words. And how would you fill in the blank of the third word of this sentence? Loss is, how would you finish that sentence? Loss is what? Hard, difficult, devastating. Loss is something that no one wants to go through, right? I don't know anybody that I have ever met that wants to experience loss in a way that is hard, that is difficult, that is devastating, but I also don't know anyone who hasn't walked through a time of loss, in a period of loss. And here's the thing about it. Loss I don't know what you think about when you think about loss. The first image that comes to your mind, or the first thought, or the first feeling that hits you. But so many times we think about loss as losing someone to death, right? I think because honestly, that's probably one of the things that hits us the hardest. That's one of the things that's the hardest thing to walk through. It's one of the biggest losses that we can ever experience in life. But you know, there are so many more types of loss that affect us in this life other than just the death of someone that is close. Let me ask you a question. When you think back over the last year of your life, what kind of loss have you experienced? Put a name to it. Put a word to it. Put a thought to it. Put an image to it. What kind of loss have you experienced? Have you lost loved ones? Have you lost friends? Have you lost a way of life? Have you lost a job? You see, everyone, I guarantee, that's thinking back right now can think of some time within the last 12 months of your life, maybe within the last 30 days of your life, or maybe even within the last week, that you have experienced loss. And what is it that loss does to us? You see, I kind of think about loss as this way. We have had something in the past that when we look at our future is not there anymore. And that future in our minds and in our hearts is forever changed. Or it could be an expectation of something that we want, that we expected, that we thought would be good, that we thought would help be a good part of our life. It's that expectation of having that that never comes true. And that sense of loss sinks in. And here's the thing about it. I want you to understand that that feeling and that sense and that season and that devastation and that hardness and everything that goes along with loss, you are not alone in that. As a matter of fact, I would say that we are not alone in that, because did you know that God Himself, the creator of the earth and the universe, of you and of me and of everything, experience loss. I would say the greatest loss ever known we read about in the book of Genesis. Can you imagine what it was like for God, our loving Heavenly Father, to create a world, to create it perfectly, and to lose that relationship with the apple of His eye, you and me, to sin? That's the greatest loss ever known. But I want us to walk through Genesis 15, starting there, and I want us to look at and talk about the other side of loss, not just sinking into that, letting that permeate us, but actually looking at and seeing, how do we release loss? How do we move beyond it? How do we move through it? And let's ask the question about how we do that, because the truth is this: in Christ. Those are important words. In Christ, you can release loss. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, shows us the first thing that as believers we really need to understand and we really need to realize when it comes to releasing our loss, when it comes to moving through this season of everything being different, everything being changed, everything being more difficult, and moving on through the life that God has for us in Christ. And what we see in Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6, is this promise, this covenant promise that God gives to Abraham. But remember, we're kind of focusing on Sarah and her experience in this, and look at how this promise affects Sarah. Genesis 15, verse 1. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abraham replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son?" since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Don't you see the picture of loss right there in those sentences? It's the expectation of something good that has not happened yet that Abram believes never will. And what is it that you see that's going on? What is it that you see that's happening right here in the midst of this? What is it that God says? Verse 4, then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. What is this a picture of? This is a picture of covenant promise. It had not been fulfilled. It had not happened. But this is the Lord speaking to Abram and telling him, you will have a son. And how would this have affected Sarah? Even though she wasn't there, even though she didn't hear it, even though she wasn't a part of this conversation, there was a promise of something to come that would affect Sarah's life. Now let me ask you this. What is the promise that we have in this world? It's the promise of Christ, the promise of Jesus. And we need to understand that if we're going to release our loss, the first thing that we need to do is we need to gain a very clear vision of our future. You've got to gain a clear vision of your future. And this is exactly what God is doing here with Abram. He is giving him a very clear picture of his future. It doesn't match his circumstances. It doesn't match how he feels. It doesn't match kind of what he thinks is going to happen. Because where Abraham is in the midst of these dashed expectations, and God gives him a promise, and that promise is of a clear future. Let me ask you a question. What is your future in Christ? What is the promise that God has given you? What is the promise that God has given the entire world for anyone that comes to Christ and believes in him? Have you read Revelation? Have you read Revelation 21? Listen to Revelation 21 verses 1 through 7, because this is a very clear picture of your future in Christ. This is a very clear picture of my future in Christ because we believe in him. Revelation 21 verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Verse 3, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. And then look at verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. Well, what was it that we just said a minute ago that goes along with loss? Loss is what? It is hard. It is difficult. It is devastating. Listen, what is the promise in Christ? What is your future hope in Christ? What is the very clear vision of our promise that we have in Christ? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone for how long? Forever. Haven't you had enough death? Haven't you had enough sorrow? Haven't you had enough crying? Haven't you had enough pain? And look, I want you to hear me say something. What I'm talking about here this morning is not a formula for flipping a switch that makes us not feel these things or go through these things anymore. What I'm talking about is the Word of God itself, the Word of God himself, that says to us all, this is your future. This is your hope. Your hope is in Christ. So let me ask you something. Do you ever feel stuck? Do you ever feel like this isn't going to change? Do you ever question, am I ever going to be any different? You know, the thing about it is we get stuck because we get stuck where we are sometimes in life because we can't see where we're going. And it's hard to get to where you're going if you don't know where that is. So when our vision in this life is shortened to our present circumstances, it's easy to get stuck, isn't it? Which is why that picture, that truth of the picture that God gives us in Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth where everything that has gone wrong will be made right and God Himself will be with us. Do you know that that's God's greatest desire, is to be with us? It's why He sent His Son Jesus Christ to be born, to walk this earth, to die on a cross, to be buried in a grave, to be resurrected on the third day, is so that you and I can be in right relationship with God. And that's not a relationship that's a far-moved relationship. That's a relationship where we are literally in the presence of God, in right relationship with Him, where we live in His favor. And that's so much bigger than any circumstance. Remember what Kevin talked about last week when he was talking about hope? It's bigger than any of our circumstances. Listen, we have to understand that there is hope in Christ. And that is a truth that remains no matter how we feel. But there's another thing that we should see. Because, you know, if we're going to release our loss in Christ, if we're going to release our loss, not only do we need to gain a clear vision of our future, but let's look at Genesis chapter 18. Flip back with me to Genesis chapter 18. Let's read verses 1 through 15, and let's see how Sarah comes into the story here. Let's see how Sarah comes into this promise, this covenant of God. When we see her in Genesis chapter 18, beginning to read in verse 1, we're going to read all 15 verses here, so follow along with me. The Lord, this is later on, the Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak tree belonging to Mamre. And one day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. "My Lord," he said, "if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey. "All right," they said, "do as you have said." So Abram ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, "Hurry, get three large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and bake some bread." Then Abram ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and roasted the meat, and he served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. What is this a picture that you see here? That's going on. It's God Himself. You'll see here later that this is God Himself that has come and is with Abraham and Sarah. And what is Abraham doing? He's being hospitable. He's invited the Lord in. But look at verse 9. Where is Sarah, your wife? Do you ever wonder if God has you in mind? Have you ever thought to yourself, does God see where I am? Does He understand what's going on right now? Have you ever in your heart, maybe in the deepest part of your heart, asked the question, do I really matter to God right now? Because a lot of times circumstances in our life, they'll cause us to struggle. But what is it that He says here? Where is Sarah, your wife? She's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, listen to these words, will have a son. And apparently Sarah was close enough by that she could hear. She could hear the conversation. She could hear what was going on. She could hear the words coming out from the shade under this tree where Abraham was having this conversation. And it says this, Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is so old? How did she respond to the promise? How did she respond to the covenant? How did she respond to the fact that God was thinking about her? This is basically what she said. Nah, we're too old. That's crazy. We're too old. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now look, there's no answer to that question there, but let's go ahead and answer it. Let me ask it again, and you tell me what the answer is. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You got it right. You guys are sharp this morning. I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, and so she denied it, and she said, I didn't laugh. But the Lord said, no, you did laugh. Listen, this is the biggest reality check in the Bible, okay? I mean, and this is something that we need to understand. When it comes to releasing our loss, when it comes to the covenant promise that we have in Jesus Christ, not only do we need to gain that clear vision of our future, but you need to be real about where you are. You need to be real about where you are, because the Lord is there, the Lord is present, but that doesn't mean that this life will be easy, and we need to be real about where we are. Sarah laughs in disbelief. Sarah laughs because I think she's probably caught in bitterness. Sarah laughs because she thinks not even God can do anything about this. And let's just be honest, sometimes we feel that way, don't we? We feel like our circumstances are set. We feel like our life is already determined, and we don't see how God can act. We don't see how God can work, because sometimes we think that's what God wants. And God looks at us and he may say, no, I've got more for you. I've got more for you in this life. Look, brokenness from loss is real. And so you got to be real about where you are. If you're hurting, guess what? You need to hurt. It's okay. It's okay to hurt. If you feel confused, that is okay. You just be confused. Because you know what? God is with you in Christ, and he is present, and he's not sitting there looking at you, pointing his finger at you, and in that moment saying, you better get over this. He's with you through it because God feels it too. But there's more to it. There is more to this loss. Brokenness is real, but there's more. Listen to Corinthians. Listen to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And let's see how this speaks into the brokenness that we feel, that we experience because of loss in our life, but then the more that we have to it. You see, Paul writes this to a church that is broken in Corinth. He says this, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our body continues to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Even in the midst of the brokenness of loss that we experience in this life, there is more. The strength that you have is given by God. The breath that you're taking into your lungs, breathing in and breathing out, is given to you by God. The blood that is pumping through your body is given to you by God. The energy that you have, even if it's just a little bit, the size of a mustard seed itself, that is given to you by God. And God can take that little bit. He can take that whisper. He can take just that little bit of hope in your heart, and he can do great things with it, because God has given you what you need to walk with him through it. Do you know that God gave you a mind? That's God-given. He gave you a mind so that you can know. And sometimes our circumstances, I mean, we know in our mind what is going on, because listen, when you experience loss and you experience significant loss, what does it do to your mind? What does it do to your brain? You immediately begin to ask questions, right? You immediately begin to try to process it. You try to make sense of what's going on around you. And we ask a lot of questions. And what's the first question we typically ask? Why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? What is it that's going on? And our brain begins to work, and it begins to process, and it begins to categorize things. And a lot of times it tries to ask the question, whose fault is this? Why is this happening, and whose fault is this, right? I mean, the brain is given to us so that we can understand. But you know that God gave you something else? He also gave you a heart. And when you experience loss, and when you experience significant loss, what does it do to your heart? Listen, you have a mind and you have a heart, and your mind will work, and your heart from time to time in this life will be broken. It'll be broken. And that's not our future, and that's not what our eternity is, but we go through seasons where our heart is broken, and we cry, and we mourn, and we grieve. Because here's what I think. The more significant the loss, the deeper the grief. Think of it this way. I hear Kevin say this all the time. The greater the love, the greater the loss. And what's your heart supposed to do in times like that? But here's the thing about it. According to how we're wired, we typically lean into one side of those, don't we? And we try to push the other away. And there's something that we need to understand. If we only try to figure out what's going on, and we get caught in that logical side of things where the brain is working, and we're trying to categorize, and we're trying to figure out why, and we're trying to find what the fault is, and we're trying to just make it, we're trying to fix it, okay? And we ignore the heart. And we say, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to go through this. I don't want this to affect me in this way. And I'm just going to suck it up, and I'm just going to push my way through this because I can think my way out of this. How does that work for us? Not very good, does it? Well, what if we go the other way? What if we say, I don't know what to think, and I don't care what to think, and what if we're more kind of heart-wired, you know, and we just dive into those feelings, and we dive deep into those feelings? What is it that happens? Those we think, and we begin to believe that this is our reality, and that this is all that's going to happen, because we're just being driven by how we feel. God has given you a mind so that you can think and understand. God has given you a heart so that you can feel, you can have compassion, you can have empathy, you can grieve. But do you know that he's given you something else? Because what if those were the only two things that we had? You see, when we only lean into one of those, we can get stuck. And when we get stuck, what begins to grow in that gap, that hole that's been dug in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives by loss, we begin to fill it with whatever is going to make us feel better, or whatever is going to make us get through it. And how good are we outside of Christ at filling that hole? We forget about what's good for us. We forget about what's good for others. It just becomes, I got to get out of this. But you know, God has given us something else. He's given us a mind. He's given us a heart. And he has given us a soul. As a matter of fact, C.S. Lewis said something. Janie reminded me of this week as I was getting ready, of a quote that C.S. Lewis. He says, you're not a body that has a soul. You're a soul that has a body. And when we experience loss, isn't it good to know that our soul is in the hands of God Himself? It's in the hands of God Himself. When sorrows like sea billows roll, what did we just sing a minute ago? It is well with my, talk to me, soul. God's given you a mind, He's given you a heart, and He's given you a soul. And because, if we are believers, because of Christ, it grounds us in that hope that we have for our future. So gain that clear vision of your future, but also be real about where you are. What's your struggle? Are you leaning into the mind? Are you leaning into the heart? And are you remembering that God is in control and He has my soul in His hands? And there's a third thing. Turn back to me with Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. So you have this promise, you have this great reality check in Genesis with Sarah, and then what is it that we see that happens in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 7? The Lord kept His word and did for Sarah exactly what He had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would, and isn't that our biggest struggle? Our timing a lot of times is different than God's timing, isn't it? And if we would be patient and if we would rest in Him and we would understand that our future is secure, and even though we are in hard circumstances in the present, that God is with us and He's walking with us through it, it gives us what we need to wait on His timing. This happened at just the time God had said it would, and Abraham named their son Isaac. And do you know what Isaac means? Laughter. Laughter. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded, and Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. You see what's going on here? God has brought me laughter. He has given me Isaac. And do you know that God was the one that named Isaac? In the covenant, in the promise, He said, you will name him Isaac. In other words, He's giving them promise, a promise of joy in the future. And here you see that God's word has come true. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. Look, we need to gain a clear vision of our future. We need to be real about where we are. But then we also need to understand that in God's timing, He will make all things right. So even now, you can release loss by taking hold of life in Christ. And yes, I know that's not easy. Yes, I know that that is hard, but that is what we need to do. Have you ever been to a circus? I know this is a dying thing in our day. So if you're a little younger, and I'm getting to the age now where, man, there's a lot more people that fit into that category for me. If you're a little younger, think of The Greatest Showman. Think of actually going to something like that, okay? And there is one moment. There is a moment in the circus that I think everybody has the same reaction to, and it has to do, have you ever seen a trapeze act? You know, I always think to myself, you know, these conversations that go on in my head, I'm not wrapped too tight, folks. And so, you know, I think about stuff and I ask myself questions and I'm like, how did that get started? Who stood on a telephone pole one day and said, hey, I think I'll swing off of this thing. Can you catch me? But the trapeze act, there is one moment in that act when everyone does the same thing. What is it that they do? And at that moment looks like this. Look at this picture. It's that moment of release. And that moment of release can be scary, right? Because what's the question? Where am I going? What is about to happen? Everything that has been, when I look forward into the future, it's different. And there are a lot of us that are in these moments right now. There are parents who have just seen their high school seniors graduate. Let's go ahead and cry right now, okay? Let's just take a boo-hoo moment. We're there, all right? Janie and I are there this week. Our youngest child graduated from high school. And that's one of those moments where it's a release moment. You see them, they have finished one part of their life, they've released, and here's the question: are they gonna grab onto what they need to grab onto? How are they gonna land? Are they gonna grab that trapeze? Are they gonna grab those hands, or are they going to fall? There are those of us that we've lost loved ones, and it has propelled us into the air where we feel like we don't know what's next. We don't know what's coming. We're reaching out, and we don't know what we are even supposed to grab onto next. You may be experiencing the loss of a way of life, and you don't know what's going to happen on the way. And there is this collective gasp as we are sailing through the air, tumbling through the air, and we have all the same reaction. We reach out and we say, God, help me. And there's only one pair of hands that I would tell you to grab onto. And those are the outstretched hands, the outstretched arms with the nail-scarred hands that are Jesus' hands, because he's there and he is present and he is with you and he will hold on to you even when you don't know what's coming. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. I'm going to keep reading, verse 17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. That is the promise that we have in Christ. And so when your brain is churning, when your brain is looping, when you lay down at night and those thoughts keep coming to you and you get caught in those loops, let me give you a question to ask. Instead of getting stuck in why, instead of getting stuck in what is going on, instead of getting stuck in whose fault is this, ask yourself this question: how am I supposed to live because of this? How then shall we live? Because we can't change our circumstances. We can't change the loss. It's never going to be the same. But we have life in Christ, and he's calling us to step into that. He's calling us to release in his timing what we need to release so that we don't get caught in bitterness. We don't get caught in our circumstances. And he is wanting to carry us through this life and walk with us and hold us as we do. How then shall we live? What are the good things that God has given you that you need to step into to take care of yourself? You know, that's okay. What are the good things that God has given you to step into, to open your eyes and see the people around you through the eyes of compassion and empathy and mercy? And even though you're wounded, you step into helping them as well. You see, we will experience loss in this life, but God is there with us. He's walking with us, and he wants us to release that and hang on to Jesus. Our final thought is this: in Christ, you can experience life even in the midst of loss. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for the goodness and the truth of your word. We thank you that your son, Jesus Christ, died so that we can be given life. Life that is eternal, life that is bigger than any circumstance, life that is full of hope, even in the midst of pain and brokenness. So, Lord, we pray today that if there's anyone that's here or that's listening that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would step into that life that was provided by his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. God, help today be a day of salvation. Help them to admit that they're sinners. to pray and ask for your forgiveness and to commit to follow him as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.